What's good, everyone? It's Gavin Ortweek.
What's good? What's good? What's good? It's Marcus or Pink.
What up? What up? It's Charles or Chuck.
And what's going on? You got Haz or Matt bringing it in. Episode 202, Tweak Talks. You know what it is. Another week with the guys here. Excited to talk some Smash Bros. Some probably Nintendo news, knowing Gavin. I don't really think there was that much because that Pokemon Direct, not the best thing I've ever seen. But either way, what's going on, Charles? How's it going?
Chilling. Played a lot of WoW because you got me into it. Yeah, I'm a filthy addict. I took a day off. I played all day, all night, and I woke up this morning, and my eyeballs hurt. Like, I haven't played video games and stared at a screen for that long in a long, long time. So, yeah, I'm a little concerned. But other than that, I'm doing
great. It's
kind
of lit in its own way.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, it was cool to just, like, sit down and grind. The only thing I was bummed out about was I thought Mist was coming out on Tuesday, so I tried to hit 85 today. I didn't even make 85 anyway, so it doesn't really matter. I'm, like, 83.5 or something. I'm almost to the midst of Pandora content, so that's pretty dope. The only thing that kind of sucks is I haven't got to play Bonanza yet, so I'm still looking forward to that. But I want it to be a very specific experience, so I've been off of Twitter, which honestly I have been off of Twitter to avoid like spoilers and stuff. But then I realized, well, wow, it's like pretty dope to just not be on social media. W. So that's been awesome, but. When I played Donkey Kong 64, and it was like one of my favorite 64 games, I used to play it a lot, and my dad would watch me play it, and my sister would watch me play it. So I want a very specific experience with Bonanza, where I'm playing it with my sister and her son, my nephew, Haku. So I'm down to either, like, if Haku wants to play it, then that's cool, and then if not, like, I'll just play it or whatnot. But I definitely want it to be, like, a family experience, so I'm very much so looking forward to that specifically. How you doing, Pink?
What up? What up? See, the bro didn't even go for the mix. It's just straight into it. Yeah,
straight.
No games for that.
From right to left.
good, good. Little man started school yesterday. It's like a Montessori school. Long. You could do some research on it, but so he started that. People were like confused. They're like, "Why is he starting school in July?" I'm like, "Cause he's two. he's two." It's a daycare, but it's also school. So that's cool. It's an interesting experience. I thought like I was gonna be super sad, like his first day of school. But actually I just kind of dropped him off and I was like, all right, I'll see you later, little man. Because we've
just dapped you up.
Yeah, kind of. Little high five. No, we got high fives and fist bumps. We can't dap yet, but we'll get there one day. So that's super cool. Otherwise, I mean, life's been good, work, all that good stuff. I mean, I literally was just sitting here. They said podcast at 5, can you still make it? I was like, all right. Hey, it's up, we're here.
Clean 90-degree pivot.
Yeah. Wait, don't I usually pass the chalk? Like, this is so strange. All right, big Gav, like, how's it going?
What's up? I'm fantastic, bro.
Life's good right now, huh?
Life is weirdly good, but I'm questioning what's like, am I being pranked?
What's the catch?
Yes, yeah, what's the catch?
There's always a catch, man.
There has to be a catch, and yeah, I feel like most people would be surprised, but I've actually exclusively streamed every second of Bonanza. For my first playthrough, I'm not much like I like to keep my single player stuff to myself, but I just know that this is a big one and it's a good opportunity like to experience it with everyone. I've been streaming it every day for at least a couple hours.
Every night.
Huh?
Every night.
Every night, yes. It's like I'd be starting at like 11 p.m. but it's been great. The game is fantastic. It is every experience is like, oh, this is like DK64. This is like Country. This is like Banjo-Kazooie. This is like Banjo-Tooie. Dude, there was even a little bit of Conker's Bad Fur Day vibe.
Yes,
I'm back.
I'm not kidding. Buying it now.
Not the least amount, but there was a little bit, I swear. I'm a huge Rareware fan, so like, maybe I'm overthinking it, but I like, there's just like, obviously there's the Odyssey vibes and all that, but in terms of like the references and like knowing the history behind like the people, like kind of like the branch off Mario Odyssey team creating this game, like you can just tell they love that era slash those types of games. And I just, the sentence I keep spamming during the stream is, I just can't believe this is real. I keep saying that, and like, I've been playing it, and then like B's like slightly behind me consistently in her playthrough. So I'll play it, go into the bedroom, she's hanging out playing it handheld, and I get to just watch her play it. And I'm just like, dude, this is like, life is incredible. Like, she's loving it. It feels like she loves it just as much as me, which is incredible. We both are just like, what does the Switch 2 do from here for like a single player adventure thing? Like, what do they do? You can't beat this. You can't.
What's the follow-up?
Just wait.
Wait until Mario comes.
Mario better be going crazy, bro.
Mario and Zelda, that's got to be it, right? Which is great, because it's great that it's DK. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that they just made a really good game that it's DK. And across the board, I haven't played it yet either. But I'm really excited to jump in and check it out, because the reviews are insane. And it obviously,
it's just Odyssey level reviews, so you kind of just know, like, all right.
Yep. It really, dude, and I hate to be that dude, but I think we all did it too, but it just makes you think about the next Smash game, and how are they going to handle the new DK, and how are they going to, like, you got to naturally wonder, right? Like,
we're both like, this is such a good single player experience that, like, the only thing missing, because we're not, like, Mario Kart people, is, like, all right, like, Smash is the only thing left in our brains. It was like Smash and then like an Animal Crossing type single player experience. Like, that's the only thing the Switch 2 is like missing to us. And because Donkey Kong is so good, we're just naturally shifting to like that's the only thing they can do to like do something incredible to us. So like,
it's just, as someone now, Gav, you know, since we've known you, and since you, especially since the beginning of the podcast, you started that Twitter thread of, you know, all the games that you play and the reviews of them, and people really like that. And it seems like you've kind of evolved your taste as a gamer from just hyper focusing on Smash and that's it to playing other games. So is there a part of you that's like, is there a part of you that's a little happy that Smash isn't out right now? Because once that happens, like, it's kind of game time for all of us to jump in, and for everybody, like,
come out again. Yeah,
I know. So it must be
Charles on World of Warcraft lately.
Back to the battle.
Like, wow, wow, right now.
Oh shit! You do dungeons without me, Chuck? Come on. He plays an Ally Shaman. Bro. He could do that for like 10 minutes and no one will notice. It's all good.
I'm just gonna hit Chain Lightning, man.
One button. So, good rotation.
Yeah, that was like my plan. Like, mentally, I would like for things to like really like pan out naturally. Like, give me some time with this, give me some time with that. By the time Smash is out, I'm like ready for it. But you never know how things line up. I don't think it'll work as perfectly as it is in my brain, honestly. Like, I might get too much or too little time with one thing or the other, but
So, wait. Thoughts on speedrunning Bonanza? Something that you talked about in previous podcast. So is it still something that's on your mind, or are you not even really thinking about it because you're...
I just shattered it for him.
It's on the table. I don't know if it's as much on the table as I thought due to a few reasons. I do want to at least be capable of doing the strategies that are popular. Like, I want to experience that stuff for myself. Like, my mindset is kind of still like, it's kind of like it's part of the game. Like, I want to like be in tune with it and like learn a lot. But I'm not really sure. It really depends on if there's nothing else that interests me. But like, at the same time, I am still very passionate about learning Yu-Gi-Oh! So like, that's like takes up a lot of my mental too. So it depends. I want to at least be capable. I don't know if I'm going to be actively streaming for 10 hours a day, speedrunning it, but like, I just don't think that's happening. But yeah, it's on the table for sure. Aaron and I were just talking in the call. Like, we want to be able to do it. We want to help each other out. And like, I think the coolest part is people are figuring stuff out day by day. And we want to be there for that. So that's the most important part to us. But yeah, I'm doing well. The Pokemon Presents, I didn't really enjoy it. There's very little new information. Legends looks incredible. Not much of a competitive guy, so Champions is cool, but won't be really dabbling in that. But yeah, I'm doing well. How are you doing, Haz?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I was going to say, I think competitive Pokemon's interesting and neat, and I feel some sort of way about Champions because I do respect, obviously, availability or ease of access to the competitive scene is something that's always been a little bit of a barrier for Pokemon. Yeah. You have to get the right nature and breed and do all this stuff. But I always thought, and this is back in Gen 4, Gen 3 days, I thought that was such a cool part of competitive that you really put all this time into raising and you kind of get this attachment. If you really wanted to make the investment, you kind of do it. But then the other half is people were just hacking their Pokemon in anyway, and they got rid of that. So now they're kind of counterbalancing it. So, talking about Bonanza, it's you just have a game with a good engine and you're just excited to see how it progresses every day. Pokemon hit this point, kind of recently, it feels like, where their competitive stuff needed an overhaul. It did, as so many games do when they're that old. And it seems like they're going in a good direction with it. I do. And you can always still go and raise your own Pokemon however you want. You know what I mean? And this is just kind of their showdown, it seems like. So I think that's really cool that they're embracing that in a lot of different ways. So it's their version, but a little different. But yeah, I'm good, man. I'm hanging out. Summer's been pretty good. I had a blast. I'm not going to lie. I had a blast watching Smash this weekend. I think we all know why. Blink Respawn, insanity, just not at all what I had expected. Or I guess it was on a bingo card somewhere, but not what popped up. But I'm really looking forward to seeing y'all, to be honest with you. Yeah, I just had a lot going on, and I'm just excited to see the boys and get away for a couple weekends for SmashCon and another trip I have coming up and all this stuff. So I'm pumped. I think SmashCon is going to be awesome, so I can't wait. So I don't know if we talked about our plans yet, but I'll be driving. So I'll be stopping by Gav's and staying for a day or two, whatever that looks like. Maybe we'll stream and have some fun or something, because I think Charles will be there as well.
Yeah.
So I'm super stoked about that, really excited. Yeah, it's good. Everything's good. So, yeah, I don't know what your plans are for SmashCon or all that, Gavin, but we'll be stopping by your place on the way. So,
yeah, we could definitely do a stream or something.
Yeah, fun. Yeah, man, games are good. Everything's good. Playing WoW with Charles has been a trip and amazing, because we've always talked about WoW so much. We've been friends for 10 years at this point, and we both love WoW. And now we get to, I feel like WoW's our Yu-Gi-Oh! I don't want to talk about it too much because I feel like it excludes such a
lot. I think it's cool that you're finally playing it together, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we're playing, for those who know, we're playing Mist of Pandaria is getting re-released. We just randomly decided, let's do it, let's play, let's commit. So we're playing with a couple other friends too, and it's been really fun so far. So yeah, it's been dope. It's obviously massive multiplayer game, right? MMO, duh. Mm-hmm. Playing with friends is always just way better than playing with randoms who are annoying, so... All good. Yeah, so we're having a lot of fun.
Well, also, I want to explain the classic part too. It's WoW had all these expansions. Me and Haz both played all the ones before Mist of Pandaria, four expansions, and then Mist. And Haz was playing the other classics, but I've already played those classics, and I kind of don't like playing a solved game that it was hype back then because everyone sucked at MMOs, and then now it's refined, it's solved, and all that other stuff. So. Me and Haz both haven't experienced Mist of Pandaria, so that's the exciting part to me. That's the thing that kind of pushed me over to be okay, yeah, I'll give it a try, because a lot of old school WoW players or just WoW players that have played a lot of different expansions, they say MOP is one of the best, if not the best expansion. So I'm looking forward to it.
It's been fun, man. We're going to keep rocking it, so we have to bring our laptops to SmashCon, true?
I guess last thing before we talk about Piranha Plant for an hour.
Can I just say, I'm fucking ready, dude. I did my commentary shit with his Piranha Plant. By that, I mean, I watched all the VODs. I rewound. I was like, how is he winning? What is he doing? Where is he losing? What's good against Sonic as Piranha Plant? And there's some shit. I'll be honest with you. Yeah. There's some shit I saw. And I was
dash attack, bro.
I have dash attack is bolded on my
list. I haven't even seen. I'm just predicting.
Bro, it's so active at the ledge. What the fuck? That shit is kind of good, though.
It's a good move.
It is a good move. He just, his shit is, a lot of shit he has is just active. Pink has had enough already. I can't believe
it. Bro, get into it. Go ahead, Gavin.
Wanted to say is, I think Bonanza makes it awkward, but there is that typical summer general direct, which is crazy because of the Pokemon thing, Bonanza release, all that. And bro, we might be getting even more stuff if there's something happening at the end of this month, because they always do something in the summer. I think Bonanza is just like kind of mixed up the timing.
It's really nice too, because you know, there were a lot of naysayers when the Switch 2 came out, which was totally valid because it was basically a Mario Kart machine when it first came out. But now it's like, all right, Bonanza hit, and not only did it hit, but it was like a knockout punch, like amazing, obviously doing really well, which is super cool. And then, you know, Legend ZA is coming out, so you get like not just Mario Kart on its own is like the ultimate, I don't want to say casual game, but it kind of is, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I know there's people who play it seriously and stuff too, which is great. But yeah, Mario Kart DK, and like one of the best DKs ever, if not straight up the best DK ever. And then Legends, which Gavin will tell you is probably the best format of Pokemon game. So it's just cool
in
that,
a long time.
At least. It's cool that it's like kind of staggering out all of these big releases, you know, and like they didn't go crazy. They went heavy on Mario Kart. It's kind of like quality over quantity is how it feels, where they go really hard. They have DK directs, they have Mario Kart directs.
Yeah.
They really dump a lot into the games. It is unfortunate. It feels like Mario Kart's falling off, though. I feel like they made some changes that weren't.
I think this direct will give it a little revive.
Maybe.
I think they'll give it content.
Dude, I actually kind of like the Pokemon direct. I don't. You guys were saying it's pretty bad, but
it's just nothing new.
Or yeah. maybe it's because I'm not keeping up to date as much as you guys. So it's like, because was Mega Knight or Mega Dragonite, was that the first time we've seen
it? Yeah, he was revealed.
Okay.
How do you guys feel about?
You love Dragonite. That's like your favorite Pokemon.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was the best Mega. It's weird because even when they, you know, Dragonite started to do the Mega Evolution thing, I was like, oh God, what do you even do with Dragonite? It's a Gen 1 Pokemon. His design is so basic. I mean, I still love Dragonite, obviously, but like, it's a very basic design, and I don't think it was too bad. They kind of leaned more into like Dragonair features and like more of the flying. It's all right. Yeah,
it does work.
Good.
Yeah,
I think it's good. I like that it's simple, because I hate the Mega Evolutions that are just spiky and complicated.
I was just like, please God, don't lean into dragon, because I thought when the Mega Ball went around him, I was like, please don't come out with the, like a spiky dragon.
He's gonna look like T-Tar, Mega T-Tar,
Duraludon, fucking
okay,
dragon
hold on,
or something like
easy on the go. Okay, Swampert,
Mega Swampert.
Yeah, that's the only thing. It just turns into a ball too.
It's rough sometimes, but I think if the vibes are like this, then we could get some nice, like just simple, like sensible, like you kind of get why it looks the way it looks.
Wait,
like,
this is the first new Mega that we're seeing, right?
Yeah,
I believe so.
So that's pretty promising in terms of design, because it doesn't quite look like old Mega designs, which
it looks like a ZA Mega Evolution. I think that's something that would be interesting, is that you can look at them and be like, this is which era they're from. I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think so too, which I mean, that makes sense. It's like the Paradox Pokemon, kind of, like, or different regional variants.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I think the word direct needs to have some impact behind it, and I didn't really feel a lot of impact.
It's presents. I don't know what you mean.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Oh, well, perfect. Then it wasn't a direct. It's presents. Great. They did a great job. I don't care. I drop it. It's over. They win. Nope. They won. That's great. Because the DK direct was great. The Mario Kart directs were great. But presents,
the Mario Kart direct low key sucked.
Eh.
The DK one was fantastic. I'm not gonna lie.
Wow.
No bias at all.
No bias.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I thought the Mario Kart, it got me
hyped
for Mario.
The shiny legendaries for Scarlet Violet, I'm like, dude.
You have to play it. And a million people have to win.
Yeah, you have to join in. That's I like that. That's pretty cool. It's like a team effort.
It always
thing.
Just happens though. Like on Pokemon Go, like that, it's like, oh no.
I'm
like
just busy with Bonanza right now. I can't.
Well, you won't lag out on the terror raids this time. If everyone's got a Switch too, right?
Wait, is anyone in here played Scarlet Violet raid since the Switch 2? That's a good
idea. I'd imagine it would help a lot with the how it would like zap the time because of the loading and stuff like that. I know it's kind of pushing on.
Please give me a shiny Wotien, please.
Not, don't ask people. Go get it.
Viewers, please.
No one help him.
Someone will definitely do that for you.
Please help.
Don't help him. Don't help him, viewers.
I have trades. I have trades.
Another thing that I like about Champions, even if you're not super into competitive Pokemon, I think Champions is a very important part for Pokemon. Like, one, the competitive side of Pokemon, which I think of all the esports, I love how Pokemon does it the most, because they're not like insert venture capitalism money, like go, 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 million, billion dollar. It's like the prize pools are reasonable, and it feels like they're kind of building up grassroots style, which is what I'm used to because Smash is from grassroots. So I think Pokemon Company does, like, their, I won't even call it an esport, but their competitive or competition for their games is, to me, top of the line. I think they are fantastic at it. I think even when I went to Pokemon Worlds, that was like my first Worlds event in Hawaii. There were so much cool things to do, even if you weren't competing, like just the experience overall, they nail it and it's amazing. So I have high praise for Pokemon Company on that end. But and another thing is when you have champions, you can also, oh, and the fucking park. Can we talk about the park? There is Disney status, bro. I'm going to be there. Dude, that's crazy.
I'm not a park guy, bro.
What? Wait, what?
Why would I be? I thought
this Pokemon Presents was great. I was like, dude, they have like Disney money now. They're going to like start making parks. And then if the first one's Kanto, like you already know Johto's next. Like, it's
oh my God, you're thinking of Gen 2?
I'm already thinking of Gen 2. I'm already thinking about funny, actually. Johto, bro. But what Champions does too is it also makes it so their main game doesn't have to be the same like turn-based format. That's what I like about Champions the most is that it's like
more room. Yeah,
their mainline game,
it's eternal competitive mode. Yeah,
because it is a bit outdated. Like turn-based RPGs is something that I think our generations are used to, right? Because we grew up on that kind of stuff and gaming was so limited back then. But nowadays there's so much more options. Like, you got to go outside of the box when it comes. I think there are still some turn-based games that you can make it work, but you gotta add a bit more to it.
It'll shine even more light on Legends, I think.
But I like I like what you said, Charles, because even if you, whether or not you think it is the standard turn-based JRPG a classic eternal banger, or is it out of date, out of touch at this point? Question for another time, but the point is that they don't have to worry about messing with their main
competitive format.
They can be more experimental with the shit that they do with other games, which is really fun, and what they should do, because as an IP, the world is their oyster. They could do whatever the hell they want. It's amazing. It's the best IP on the planet, or whatever. I don't know if that's out of touch anymore, but it was at one point. It still is one of the biggest things, so we'll see what they do with it, but yeah, that's really cool, and I love what you said, Charles, about... Going to Worlds and having it be more than just, oh, you show up and you play, it kind of reminds me of Smash. That's why I always really liked Supernova, or when it was first introduced, Super Smash Con, which I love that name. Obviously, it had to get changed, which is fine. But the idea that it's about more than just competing was an insanely brilliant idea, in my opinion. I thought that marketing and everything about it was really smart, and still one of the best tournaments to this day for that reason, because... Like you said, Charles, it all ties into how do you seamlessly weave in the competitive with the casual? Because the casuals, 99.9% of the time, outweigh the competitive players. I can't even think of a single instance where that's not true. Even games like Street Fighter or anything. Like, people just buy it casually, play it for a couple weeks, and that's it, and might buy the DLC.
For the bigger games, the competitive side is, like, less than 1%, if we had to put a number on it. You know what I mean? Like, of all the people that play Smash, less than 1% of those players go to tournaments, and that applies to like things like Pokemon and stuff like that too. These IPs that
even
have
more,
like,
so, really... which is crazy to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Pokemon is like the largest thing ever. So,
Dude, okay. And then my last thing on the Pokemon Direct thing is the main villain dude. Look, they said he's like Team Rust. Right, so Team Rust or whatever. So my theory is, when the first time I heard about that, there's an old mechanic in Pokemon called Pokerus, which is an infection. You can actually get a Pokemon with Pokerus, put it in your box, and I don't know if they're in the newer games, but all the Pokemon in your box would get infected with Pokerus. So this guy is Team Rust, right? And then the main storyline is that there's Megas that are, or there's Pokemon that are Mega Evolving, and they're going like Rogue or whatever. So I think that could be like a reference or a link to the old mechanic Pokerus from like...
I didn't even see that was the name.
I think that's a great catch, Charles. Can I actually you?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, no.
When you put Pokemon with Pokerus in your box, it just freezes. Pokerus lasts for X amount of time, and then your Pokemon becomes immune to it.
I think it's dormant. Yeah.
It freezes the timer when you put them in your box.
Oh, and then you put in your party and it spreads.
And then you put in your party and it can randomly spread per fight. So,
Thank you. You saved me. You saved me from getting actually'd in the comments. So.
It's better
That's
to get,
actually true, yeah.
Better to get actually'd live, for sure.
I white knighted you, which is great. what was I going to say? But that is a really good catch. I didn't even think about that, honestly.
The moment I heard the word Rust, I was like, Poke Rust. And then it was like, oh, these Pokemon are going Rogue and they're going Mega. I'm like, oh, it might be like some kind of infectious.
Poke Rogue. True. Like my new favorite format of not that official I play Poke
Rogue. Not that you play it.
Bro, I love the idea of Poke Rogue. I'm not saying
I think Mega Dragonite's good. I like simpler and like sensible.
Initially, like the front view, I was not sold, but then when they showed like kind of the tail, like they
with the tail,
view, I the second view was saved it because the front view I was like, it just looks like it's Terra Fairy, Terra flying. Like it just looked like it had a crown on it. I was like, yikes, that's not.
I don't think it's his such a typing changes, but I could be wrong.
I think it's still dragon flying. I would assume
it should be, yeah.
Yeah, I like that they're going more into the flying than the dragon. That's one thing I liked about the Mega a lot. It's like, all right, cool. Let's lean into something not dragon. Because before, everyone was like, oh, this is a new Mega. It's this and dragon. Like, every Mega is a dragon. Like, can we stop with the dragons? Like,
yeah. Yeah. Well, Gyarados didn't.
He leaned I think into they're going to be Gyarados less edgy awesome. Than some of the other ones.
I think so. Well, maybe. That might just be Dragonite, too. Because
yeah, let's see. Well, know, Dragonite is supposed to be, like, a very cute Pokemon yeah, like, overall. Like docile, even though it's yeah. Dragonite, it's still, like, more on the cute side, like, historically.
It's Dragonair looking, too, is the thing. Like, it's a good... Because yeah. everyone like called that out and complained that like why is it
yo, the shiny air? Though?
Wait, know that, the shiny might
it's
be
gotta
saved.
Be blue. It's gotta
it's
be
like Gengar. It's gonna be like Gengar where they have a chance
to fix dude, it. Dude, I was gonna say
they have a chance to fix it.
Yeah. Why did I not even think of this? Now I'm Pokemon brain. I guess I just haven't been Pokemon brain in
shiny,
a while.
Shiny, it's gonna be blue, bro. It's gotta. It's got yeah. They're gonna finally fix it. Like they're gonna finally make it right. They have
or
to.
They make know. It the same color as Dragonair shiny. Thoughts?
Oh, pink. That's fine.
That works for Dragonair. Yeah.
But
let's just like go back. Let's revert it back because it's like obviously inspired by Dragonair, right?
Yeah. Best possible guess is it either looks like original Dragonair, or it just looks like shiny Dragonair. Either like, one.
Either yeah.
Shiny
I'm down
Dragonite again. And the puke green with purple.
Oh
wings
god! If they don't change it, that is
just
like
completely the same. But even the wings, even the wings are gonna look like it.
I'm trying to think. How do most most shinies are for Megas? It's kind of hit or miss whether or not they change. Like
they fixed
like
Gengar.
Gyarados is the same. Gengar, yep. Yeah. Gengar changed obviously. Charizard obviously is very different because his mega is like you know like it's shiny so.
Yeah it's like but entirely different
it's thing. Interesting because that we've all been in this position too where it's like you get excited because something gets announced for a Pokemon you really like and then it's like oh what if it sucks
I was just saying like, this oh, so like our friend group is pretty torn on Dragonite not torn like a couple people don't like it most people do and it just sucks when a Pokemon you really like gets a mega evolution and you don't like it like it feels so it's painful like it's a weird feeling because you still like the Pokemon but you can't be as excited for like the new thing it's right. weird like I remember being in high school during Mega Sableye and I was nervous and like
dude yeah
thank god I like it because like if I didn't like it it would just be like a part of the Pokemon that I just don't fuck with like
yeah
it's scary like we're in a scary time where like a Pokemon you like might be ruined. Not ruined, but like you don't get to be as excited for it with everyone else. I don't know.
No, there's definitely risk associated with it because it's like, wow, that like you only get one shot. Like you get one Mega. It's not like Dragonite's gonna get another Mega if this one's well.
Yeah,
like,
Charizard got two.
Like, hold on. You have to wait like 20 years for
no
a new
one else
mechanic
is Charizard or Mewtwo.
Or Mewtwo.
But like, I don't know. For example, like, dude, I hate Ambipom, and I'll always hate Ambipom, and.
Yeah.
Like, and I love Apom, but it just like it damages the Pokemon a little bit for me. Like, just the evolution existing. Right. But, like, I feel bad for anyone that loves a Pokemon but just hates the Mega Evolution. Like, it just hurts. It hurts.
Or an updated evolution, like what Gen 4 did with some
like,
of the
Like, imagine if you just love Bisharp your whole life.
Dude, the one that gets me is Rhydon. I used to Rhyhorn Rhydon. I was like, damn, that is a deadly duo. And then Rhyperior, I was like,
now you probably think about Rhyhorn less.
But Rhyhorn's like so goated, and Rhydon's really good too. Like they're both incredible. They're both like almost 10 out of 10 Pokemon in my opinion. Like they're both incredible.
Yeah.
And then Rhyperior, it's like
blocky, just blocky.
He looks like a Mega almost, honestly. Like just too much, like over designed. An original XY Mega, I guess.
Gen 4 does that a lot.
yeah well Electivire is good though I will say he's good
I like Electivire and Magmortar Electivire especially
Magmortar's is the middle of the three
Electivire goes crazy
Electivire's objectively good
but yeah we should stop talking about this talk about something fun like Piranha Plant
bro this
active dash attack at ledge dude that's a Fox special
oh, come on
I think just the idea of having an active dash attack, and if you do it by the ledge, you can't, like, it just traps you right next to ledge or like normal get up, catching ledge jump and stuff like that. I think that is just good. If you have an active dash attack, you could be abusing ledge.
This is kind of fun, actually, because something maybe you guys don't know is that now, since Gavin's not going to events, I love to talk to him the night before top 8 or top 64 or whatever, because he's not competing, so I don't have to worry about bugging him. You know, and then like if he does poorly, I'm like, oh shit, that's on me, because I woke him up at 9 a.m. to talk about Spargo's Piranha Plant or whatever I want to study for commentary, right? Like, feel bad. So actually, this could be really fun, because I did do, you know, commentary style notes on what I noticed and what, like, if I was going to cast Spargo at SmashCon or whatever and watch his plant, these are like similar notes and things that I would call out. So I'm curious, because we got Marcus and Charles and Gavin here too, like things you guys could like add on to that. That'd be really cool, actually. It'd be a nice fun little segment if you guys are down. So yeah, I'm down to do that if you guys are. The tournament was Blink Respawn, by the way. Spargo got 2 wins on Sonics and 1 on MKLeo are the big ones, really. With Plant. I mean, he did go, Corrin or Aegis against a Fox earlier or whatever. But
against Akazia.
Against Kazuya. Well, that's fine. Plant Kazuya does not sound great.
I think that's the only time he switched.
Yeah, but he went majority Plant. Like, this is not like, oh, he went Plant against one player and that's it. Like, this counts.
Even if he went only Plant against Sonics.
Yeah, this is like a real thing. Yeah,
just give it though.
Now he has a couple options against Sonics, and that can't feel good, right? Like, that's something else I was thinking.
He has like 5.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
He has like Corrin and Roy and Piranha Plant. And,
My biggest note was that he really won. It was crazy because he won at the ledge hard is like the first thing that I really noticed. Like, he just it's Spargo, but Plant has some shit in some mix at the ledge, bro. Using Patui and mixing up the timing, whether he rolled it off a platform, so like it just stayed and like slowly rolled and fell, or if he shot it right at you, like he's raw won games like that against Sonics, where he would just throw it raw at him, mix up the timing, or he'd pull it back in and then anti-air or something, right? Like, damn. And is that in the gas at the ledge? There were times where he got like 20 plus percent from gas, like just it hitting. And it's such a, I was thinking about that. I'm like, bro, it's such a weird move, because I can't really think of many instances in Smash where you get hit and you take like 0 knockback. You know, it's such a weird move competitively, in my opinion, in that way. Like, it makes sense, obviously, but it's just unique, I guess, is a better way to put it.
I mean, so, how many moves do that? Fox Laser, Pikmin. Plant, Gas, Pikmin.
It's literally
that's kind of it, right? There's not a lot.
It is like Pikmin, but not though, because it's stationary, you know?
Yeah,
like,
no, it's even weirder for sure.
Because you can kill Pikmin too, but it's just that you just have to avoid or whatever.
I can't believe he found a way to mash with Piranha Plant.
Damn, you're calling him a masher? That's crazy.
I'm just kidding.
That's wild, bro. His Patui, bro, his combos too with Patui, like he would hit anti-air Patui, fair.
Yeah, he's like playing Plant.
Yes, he is. And obviously,
yeah, it's not just fundies. Yeah.
Let me ask, does this change anyone's opinion in this call about Piranha Plant as a character?
No.
The thing is, I don't know if I had one anyway, so it's like.
He exists now.
That's enough of an opinion. Not having one tells you a lot.
Yeah, so it's like. I was genuinely worried at Kulon when he beat Paris, that because I was playing the winner of that set and he beat Paris with Plant. I was like, oh no. Like,
hey, Paris redemption arc, let's go.
You see Paris's tweet, by the way, it was very funny.
Paris's tweet was very funny.
In my head, I was like, bro, if he's losing to his Plant, Diddy Kong's definitely about to lose to this Plant. Like,
well, it's nice being retired.
I just think he misheard me, because I asked him before the set, I was like, oh, are you going Plant? And he said, yeah. And then I wasn't looking at the screen and it started and like it's like the characters and it was Cloud and I was like, oh, okay. I was like, oh. But okay, this is the main thing I wanted to say, especially as someone that like didn't really watch it in real time, so I don't have many specifics. I do want to say I'm not usually the type of person to like overreact after a tournament and be like, oh, the meta's different and this player is this and this player is that. But I will say, seeing this, like beating all of these players, beating Sonics twice, God, with Plant, dude. This kid has to be the GOAT.
He's the GOAT, bro.
I'm not the type to say something like that after
another point is on that, Gav, So he beat Sonics the first set, and then Sonics tweets, "I have no fucking clue how to fight this character." Totally fair. Like classic Sonics tweet, respect. But then the second set starts, and I'm like, "Damn, Sonics, he might have this. Like, he definitely looked like he changed the gameplay quite a bit."
Dude.
Nope. Spargo still eat. Bro, what the fuck? Like, how did he do that? It was just so ridiculous. I think too, like, not just dash attack at ledge, bro. Jab. Frame two, rapid jab. You hold that shit.
He's mashing.
F smash is great. I get bro, why that, he's doing
oh
it.
Oh my god. Marcus, that clip attack, I sent you where he F smashed him.
I mean it was like it was
these homing attacks are good. I'll say that.
Any character that has like a way to like drain resources in their advantage state, I think Spargo can play. Like he has a good way of like he might have the best tracking in the world.
He puts crazy pressure and like he it feels like he makes everyone play at a pacing they don't like.
I know that's
he plays so fast and then you just like you can see his opponent just start to play really like clunky.
Yeah, because like you'll see him like he'll like land a hit and then he'll like go for an up air knowing it's not a true combo. But like if it's forcing the double jump essentially or like forcing the air dodge, just like forcing an option to come out. And if he gets the double jump, like it's curtains. Like he's just gonna track you. Like it's perfect tracking.
You know who
it's
he did perfect. That? He did that so well against Leo, forcing the expenditure of resources, right? Like frame trapping was so big with this character too, because Leo would just be asking air dodge sometimes because he thought Patui was coming out or coming towards him. Then it would just be gone or he'd swallow it back up and then go for his dude reverse up air too. Dude, it's crazy to see the proficiency with this character. And I'd love to see it because I know he tweeted that
Nash was crazy.
Piranha Plant makes him feel something when he plays this game. And to see that really pay out, bro, his up tilt at the ledge, back air, which is not an easy move to use.
I've never seen Plant's APM be so high.
This plant is moving for sure.
He's
and
pressing so much more than I thought bro, plant could press in like single moments.
You know what else is really nice that he took advantage of was Sonic's up B not having a hitbox on it. Patui like to set up to either force him to go to ledge or force him to go high and then frame trap him was just ridiculous. Is this where he down B's him, bro? At one point when he does the down B chomp against forward smash, legend, bro. Someone clip that, put that shit on a shirt. I'll buy it immediately. That was legendary. It's just so fun and refreshing to see, to be honest with you. Like, it really is. And I know we say that a lot. And even if he was playing Cloud, like, this would still be really fun just because he's Spargo and he's a great player. Fun to watch and all that shit.
Yeah.
Like, God damn, the plant, dude. What the
fuck? It's weird. He's a great player. Like,
he's playing so fast.
Bro, and then he waits for the air dodge and he'll charge a down B. Like he plays plant how everyone pretended they play plant in their head when he came out. Like, oh, I'm going to do all this crazy shit. Nope, no, you're not. But then he just does it. It's like, what the fuck?
I just know when they put Toad in the next game, Toad is going to go crazy. His Toad is going to go crazy.
Perfect tracking. Like, perfect tracking. It's so stupid. Like, how did he learn that? Like, I'm genuinely curious.
I don't know. And again, it's with plant. You know what else I liked about plant compared to his other characters that he has is that plant isn't fragile. You got to earn stocks against plant. Like, he's heavy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, and his recoveries were good with him and all that stuff. So you give a player like Spargo a heavier character like Plant, and Plant doesn't have an enormous hurtbox either. It's not like K-Rool or some shit where they're heavy, or DDD where they're heavy but they're huge. Plant's bigger, but like not like that. You know what I'm saying? You're not like DK. Good lord, he just forward smash.
And I just like double smash attacks, up smash spot dog.
The idea of giving Spargo so many chances and so many long lives is so ridiculous.
Yeah.
It just seems so scary up throw, but then it's like, all right, you got 30, but like it doesn't. That's fine, you know what I mean? Like he'll trade or he'll Patui. God damn, that was. I watched the event live, then I went back and watched VODs. Is how much I enjoyed.
I've never really seen this many attempts slash, like actually landing, like falling neutral air, like one singular hit. It's very interesting.
Like, what's he gonna do there, bro? Like, what is he gonna do? He's so back here last time.
That looked like something Diddy Kong would do.
I feel like
off the platform. See what I'm saying? This shit is
that
so
move
boring.
Is just so dumb. We've always known that.
It's Plant's best move.
Of course, I know.
Huey is just so unreasonable.
Oopsie.
All the plant mains are smashing their monitors right now. Like, yeah, we know it's broken, but he would get like he'd take a stock and then anti air Sonics with Patui and do Patui like up air. It's like, what? Now you're 70? Like, what the fuck just happened? It was so ridiculous and just so fun. And again, I said this to Marcus too. I'm like, I think a big part of it is that he's played against Leo and Sonic so many times that, and they're all just, you know, such grinders against each other that I know character obviously matters, especially when the tier difference is that big. But they played each other so much and they're all just like the top, top, top level player. So like, you know, anything could really happen, but this is just ridiculous. Like, I don't know how else to put it. And I had a question too, actually, maybe Gav, because I asked Marcus this, but he did try to down tilt Sonic at the ledge. And I know Sonic has a really good ledge hang. Is that even worth going for? Like, can this plant be more optimized?
It's part of like,
can you even two frame it?
Just setting probably up a visual cue, probably, right?
It's just the visual cue. And like, as plant would press it, right? Sonic has the choice. Like, he basically has to be aware of the FAF on plant's down tilt to know like how many frames he has to work with he's trying to get off the ledge.
So it wasn't about hitting him. It's like a timing thing.
Yeah, it's just a timing thing. And it's like, sequencing up like the ledge trap scenario, if that makes sense. Like, same thing with Diddy Kong down tilt. It wouldn't hit Sonic. It just wouldn't. But you press it and like, imagine if Sonic's like get up attacked and then Spargo like lines up the parry with the visual cue. Like,
I see.
It's like setting up pressure, I guess.
Got it. And okay. Yeah. I just don't know a ton about playing. I don't think anyone really did until these last couple.
Also, like, Spargo, if you do down tilts when they're already on the ledge and they like input like a jump, you're going to catch them like,
oh, let's drop double jump.
Bonus value out of certain things.
Why didn't you just say this is Ken and Ryu down tilt? Oh, duh, true. Now I get it. That's true. It is. Like, you just mash down tilt. I do two, then I shield, or I do two, then wait.
Oh, I took their double jump. Now they're like extra dead or something. Yeah, like,
right. Dude, he F tilted a lot too. He got a lot of mileage
on F tilt. I always wished like one of his tilts had like more range, but he's making it work.
Well, you know what? I think they did that because his jab is so fucking good too. That gentleman jab. I even wish his
jab was larger.
It's good enough against spin dash, bro.
Very small range on like some of his quicker moves, but they are quick. Like down, I think down tilt is frame 7, jab is frame 2.
Can we rewind it like 1 second there, Chris, on the replay? Sorry for the audio only people, but basically Spargo gets put off stage against Sonic's. Rewind it real quick, and this is exactly what I'm talking about with the character's weight and like the opportunities you get him. Just like a couple seconds, yeah. Where he gets knocked off stage, and if he's Cloud or Aegis or whatever, any other of his other characters, this is like he could potentially just lose the game. But with Plant, he's able to just go high, and he's like, you know what? If you want to up air me a couple more times or neutral air me and pop me up and get me to 60 or 70, I don't really care. I could just go high. Like, he gets caught off stage against Sonic without a double jump, I'm pretty sure. And then it's like, there's that jab again, bro. I always love that jab.
It's
so he double jumps, gets caught by an active air, then he just up air, like, fuck it. And then he just swings, yep. Dash attack.
It's actually mixed too, because there's not a lot of lag on like landing with the up B. So I mean, Spargo with a good, I think it's similar to when Leo was playing Byleth and had success, right? Like, Leo just essentially wanted to get on stage. It's like, okay, I'm the better player. I'll just get on to, as long as I have a sword character with a good recovery, I can get back to stage and I can get value from that. I think Spargo is, it's kind of like what we're seeing with Plant too. I think also Spargo probably just likes playing the character because you can get really creative with Patui. I think Patui is a very unique move.
All right, cut that guy out. Sucks at the game.
Cut the tape. But
cut that one out. He still won, by the way.
But yeah, I just feel like Patui is such a unique move. So Spargo can really explore creativity in Smash Ultimate. I don't think there's a lot of characters or moves that really stand out or make the character as unique as something like Plant. Like Patui, there's no other move in Smash history that's like it. Extremely active. And also just goes good with his, like, what Spargo is good at. I think Spargo is extremely good at ledge trapping. So when you give Spargo a active projectile to throw near the ledge that bounces off platforms, bounces near the ledge, and you can combo off of it, you're just going to see a crazy value. Plus with the gas trapping too. So, it very fun to watch for sure. And I just feel like right now that's so funny because you actually have more while you're charging a smash attack. Well, while you're charging a smash attack, if you get hit while you're charging, you actually have increased knockback.
Yeah,
so right. On reaction there, Sonic's might have been able to DI and like release it, so there's no bonus knockback. But
I
just feel like this just solidifies that Spargo is clearly the best player in the world right now, skill wise. Like, obviously, there's results and all that other stuff, but as someone who's watched players from multiple games, I just feel like it's very clear that Spargo is the best player right now. And there's other characters in the game that can cover up weaknesses and stuff like that. And I'm not going to sit here and just be like, oh, these players are just straight up carried. But like, winning with Plant against Sonic is definitely more impressive than winning a tournament with Steve or Game Watch. I'm sorry. Like that is just my opinion. I'm not trying to like downplay anyone, but just to me, when I'm seeing players like Spargo do shit like this, like you can't say that my opinion's that whack. Like,
statistically, how many, you know what I mean? Like, you just look at it from a raw numbers point of view, not even a feelings where it's like, this has happened once or maybe twice if Spargo's done it some other time. The amount of, Steve, like, Game & Watch, whoever, any other top tier has won a tournament, it's totally different, right?
As someone that like didn't watch this live, like,
you're starting to,
I'm thinking that, like, because Plant, like, one of Plant's big weaknesses is how susceptible it is to being two-framed. It's just, like, Sonic's is, like, weirdly, like, I think that's one of the big things about covering, going high and, like, taking the damage is, like, he's just not getting F-smashed two-framed by Sonic.
That and Gav, he used Patui offstage a ton and Gas to cover himself. Like, his mix to avoid that is really good. Like, really, really good. That's
a Sonic counterplay.
He's not
jabbing spin dash and spin dash.
I told you, dude. His jab, that's the key. That shit was crazy. Which I was like, bummed because I wrote that note down and I saw someone clipped it and put it on Twitter. I was like, damn it.
Like, Sonic needs to land those F-smashes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he's not getting that many chances.
That's what I'm saying.
Recover high, abuse weight. We've seen this before. Anyone that can fly, we have Robert in the house. We got Snake. We got Piranha Plant. They can fly high and they're heavy. He's just good combination in ultimate.
Plant's a weird one for that. It's like, I guess technically you can.
It's not as good as Robin Snake, obviously.
Yeah,
it's like a diet version of it. Like I can fly and I'm heavy.
Just raw Patui because he covered. I'm saying Gav, like him being able to live that long isn't just a Plant weight thing. It's like a mix. Like it's taking a crazy, and we've all played low tier characters, right? Like I play Belmont and Gavin plays Sephiroth and like all that shit. And it's like, you learn how to play. Is Sephiroth worse than Plant? True. He might be.
Diddy Kong's low tier too.
Oh my God. You learn how to really maneuver around. That's why when you see low tier heroes pick up top tiers, like something really kind of clicks, or you see it in like a different light, because you have to learn all these shitty things that just don't necessarily apply to the rest of the cast. Certainly very much apply to you because that's how people beat your ass and why you're a low tier in the first place. So learning how to play against this stuff. And to be honest, some of that comes from the characters he plays already, Aegis and Cloud, because his ass is losing if he can't recover with those characters anyway. Like, if he's getting picked off stage, it just doesn't matter. He's doing everything he can. He's doing the most. And I actually had, and maybe this is a stupid thought, but a lot of these games were like super, you know, last hit or whatever. Like they came down to like last stock, last hit. And Spargo won. I had this idea of like, and I'm dying to know what you guys think. Obviously, I have my own thoughts here, but it's kind of like, I don't want to say it's a coin flip because clutching out games and winning games is really hard and really, really important. But it's almost like if the, you know, pins dropped another way or something and he just didn't win, like they were really close games. Is there something to like, it's not as a wise racer once said, Dom Toretto, he said, it doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile, right?
Yeah.
How true is that, right? You know, absolutely. Dom Toretto. Yeah.
I think it has nothing to do with Plant for winning the last hits. I think winning last hit games, especially in tournament, is its own thing. It is like its own skill, and it is such like a noticeable thing across players too. Like some players are just very, very good at it, and games aren't always going to be last hit, obviously, but a lot of games are, like a lot.
Yeah.
And there's just something, it just feels like a skill that develops over time, and Spargo has a lot of those first places under his belt, and I think, like, he has it. Like, he has this, like, the, you know, he plays super fast and he makes you play really chaotic and you make mistakes and he's going to benefit in last hit scenarios. Like, some characters are better than others, but I just really think it's a skill set, especially in tournament, that you would be surprised how much more valuable it could be than, like, some other things that we're already aware of that are, like, required to be a strong player.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting topic because it's like such a tournament specific thing. I feel like
Because we're not sitting here like he barely won that tournament with Plant. Like, we don't use that, you know.
Yeah, he just
justifier. He won, you know. Yeah. And I just thought it was interesting because it's like, yeah, he won the tournament, but damn, if a couple of those, you know, if that F smash didn't connect or that up smash or whatever, like if those things didn't, but they did, you know, ultimately.
Like, think about how many legendary players / legendary tournament runs have happened. And there was that one set in top 128 where they like should have lost, yep, and they like win the whole tournament.
Yeah.
And then like you notice like, oh, this player just does that all the time. Like, mm-hmm, it's a skill set and it's like debatably the most important one. Like you said, like, I mean, I've talked about this a lot with everyone in the call really, where it's like, you know, there's those last hit games. Like if you find yourself winning those last hit games a lot, like that's like really important to take note of. Like, it's really good. But I think the other side of it that's kind of beautiful is like, if you're losing those last hit games, well, you're still right there. You know
what I mean? I know, like, yeah. Like, that's kind of what I think about it too. But like, especially when you reach that level, like there's no fucking way Sonics is walking away from that. Like, oh, at least I was close. Hell no, you know what I mean?
Especially this time. Like,
he wants a three stock relentlessly every game. Doesn't everybody, right? Like, yeah, that's how everybody feels all the time. But I just thought, I don't know, I thought it was interesting because it's like, damn, we had this huge, and like you said, Gavin, it's happened a million times, not just in Smash, but in any, yeah, pick your sport, pick your competitive avenue, where the almost or like things that come so close to happening and just do or don't is just, I don't know, it's a really interesting,
yeah,
topic. And the word clutch exists for a reason, right? Or being, yeah, able to have that clutch factor, or the X factor, whatever you want to call, yeah, it. It's all a big thing.
I don't like your Belmont.
Oh, that's a dangerous man right there, as my favorite Ness main once said. Actually, that's not true. I got a couple favorite Ness mains.
Okay, question. This is a very, very strange question. And it just popped into my head. I'm not sure how to phrase it. But normally when this happens, it's, Gavin might be able to speak to it. And that's why it popped into my head. And sorry, because this is like kind of deep. But do you ever think like players who play in like a certain generation, right? So think like any sport like basketball or football or tennis or something like that, where like they, if they're like right there, right, and like there's only one player that's really stopping them from being like the best of that generation, do you, yeah, think that gets under like Sonics' skin, or I guess in your case Leo's skin, or your skin for like Leo, or, yeah, something like that, you know what I mean? Like because, like, I watch Sonics, and I'm like, this dude's the best player in the world. And then I watch Sonics play Spargo, and I'm like,
it's different.
Never mind. Different. Like, never mind. I'm sorry.
It's brutal. I think it's so brutal. And, like, losing to Leo in, like, similar fashion so many times. Like, I get a lot of comments from, like, people around me that are like, they say the same thing. There's like, there's no way this should be happening, especially this frequently, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just a mental thing. You just got to break it. And there's some truth to that. Obviously, it's just so in depth. Like how can we even like fully talk about it? But I mean, once you break that shit, it's crazy. Like, how
you haven't lost to him in like 5 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, once you break that shit, it is like broken. And like, you've like, it like clears up so much.
I'd argue, just from a broader sense, like, yeah, it applies to Smash, obviously, as most competitive things do, or all competitive things do. But that's, like, that's the shit that makes Legends, or, like, real, like, that's the real, yeah, shit. You think of your favorite athlete, player, whatever, yep, Michael Jordan had it, you know what I'm saying? He had the Pistons, they beat his ass all the, yeah, time, you know
he
what
never
I mean?
Beat Larry Bird in the playoffs.
Right,
like,
yep.
Like, and no one even talks about his failures that extensively. I mean, there was a Giannis interview that was very similar.
But it's crazy because is losing to Larry Bird failure? Like, losing obviously is, but you know what I mean? Yeah, like, right, just thinking of it that way, where it's like that, it's I guess it is failure, right? Of course, because you
a defeat.
Win.
I wouldn't call it a failure.
Defeat. Yeah, that's better, yes, less extreme word, mm-hmm, for it, for sure. It's a defeat, but it's not, because that's going to happen to everybody, because no matter where you are in your local level, state level, region, whatever, you're going to have that person that's gatekeeping you. You know what I mean? And breaking through to that next level, regardless of who you are, is always something that's going to have to happen. And that's how you get real fucking legends. You know, that is a part. I feel like that is 99.9% of the time a part of the story as to how you see your you know, Sonics is, you know, we started learning about Sonics whenever we did at this point in Ultimate. He had to go through that at some point. You know what I mean? And he's still going through it, right? It's still not over yet. We still consider him one of the best
players. We've all had players like that we've lost to extensively before people even knew about the rivalries that happened later on that are more like public and people know about.
Yep.
Like, I used to go to locals and lose to the Buzz every 5 seconds. Yes. I still struggle against the Buzz when I play with him. Like, but the Leo one is going to be like more, it's just more in the public eye. And like,
there's more spotlight on that.
After breaking out of that, there's still like, I never beat Aquila. Like, and a lot of those were game five. It's the same shit. Yep. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
But like going through it is crazy because this applies to life too, but it applies to Smash too, where like a lot of tournament runs I did that went well, last hit game five games, I win and there's like no reaction. And like, you just like you just get so like chiseled, like you just can't be bothered by anything. Like you're just so used to the pressure. And I notice it in real life too. Like when something's going wrong in real life, I notice like, I don't want to be mean, but I respond to pressure so much better than like everyone around me. Like I just handle it. Like even like something that other people would like freak out and it would ruin their week or something. Like I just, it's not like what I've dealt with. Like it won't compare. And
what I'll say to that, Gav, is I agree. I think two, there's all sorts of different types of pressure that people are just naturally better at or not. You know what I mean? Sure. Something that doesn't bother you at all might ruin my week and vice versa. Yeah. You know what I mean? Absolutely. Something like Donkey Kong is revealed to whatever, you know, that could ruin the shit out of your week. And I wouldn't even think about it more than 1 second. You know what I'm saying? Like some sort of big Donkey Kong reveal or some shit. Switch 2 is canceled. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. That would ruin your
life. Yeah,
exactly, that's what I'm saying. It's like there's but things like playing on stage in a Smash tournament, shit, I have a very hard time doing that, and you clearly are very comfortable. So there's just something to it. I think it is something you can learn too, but I really do think, and I loved your examples because it was at the beginning of your career, it was the Buzz, and like you said, that doesn't go away. It's not 100% done, you know. Like if you ever pick up the six and
a lot of my wins to Leo were easily the same things that happened to me when I lost previously. Mm-hmm. Last hit games, like it's just all the same thing. And it's like you said, like it just comes down to like the one moment. And it's so interesting to specifically try to improve at the one moment. Mm. Like it's just not talked about. And how do you talk about it? It's not easy.
Well, but, you like, have to experience something it.
About working on it, improving it, acknowledging it, and seeing what players are better at it than others. And sometimes it's a tournament by tournament thing. Like you might lose all your last hit games, you might lose all your last game, you might lose a lot of your game fives. And I like the last few years of me competing was a lot like that, where I noticed like, and I just stayed like, I was very hopeful that like, all right, I'm losing all these game fives the last couple of months, it's gonna swing. And then I'd win a bunch of game fives, and like it's just there's something crazy, dude. Like how these last hit games just determine an entire tournament, an entire season. It transcends into your rivalry with future sets against players, because a lot of rivalries are like one player wins, the next player wins three times. At least for me personally, I've noticed that a lot, like where, you know, me and Light, like we just win a few times in a row. Like sometimes we'll trade, but it just feels like winning a set can help you win your next set versus the same person. It genuinely can. But there is noticeable moments where something gets broken.
You were, like even Zomba, like you were beating Zomba for a while. Zomba started beating you for a while. Yeah. You started beating Zomba for a while. Yeah. It just happens. And I think it's like one of those things where when you play the same people enough and like they start to prepare for you, they start to look for like, oh, this is how they like to close out games. Like, let me avoid that. Or like, they tend to have this mindset when they go for like closing out a game, or they won't pull the trigger here. So I'm probably a little safer in this aspect or this area. Or I'll take this disadvantage state. It's really, it's funny how like in-depth Smash can get, because on the surface, it looks so simple. But then like when you're like truly in the moment, going like decision by decision, you're like, okay, well, usually I lose a lot of my last hits here because I tend to like overextend. So I'm not going to overextend. And then they like do the thing that you thought that they were going to do. And you're like, well, I should have overextended. Like, this is the time I should have done it. And you start to question yourself and like go through that whole process. It was just really interesting because I'd never like gotten to that point where like, and not many people have, right? Where like there's the best player in the world. And then there's like probably this, like the second best player in the world. Like, you've experienced that. Sonics has been pretty close with Spargo. Akola's just, Mia's experiencing it with Akola. You know it's what I mean?
Same
like,
thing, bro.
It's like all there. Really, and like, I was thinking about like how someone said, like, if LeBron didn't exist, then there would have been so many different title contenders, you know what I mean, in the 2010s, because he just ended everybody's runs. It's like, how different would history look if there were no LeBron? Like, would Paul George, when he was in Indianapolis, have like a championship or blah, blah, blah? Like, you never know.
He had a much smaller window because of injuries, too. So it's like, but yeah, a lot of the, like, the Aquila Mia thing is just like, it's just happening on a different side of the planet.
Yep.
And it's this, the same
crazy
thing.
And they,
and like, the momentum swings. And we talk about this a lot on the show. Oh, like, this player, quote unquote, forgot how to lose. And it's not a joke. Like, it is. It sounds funny, and it is funny to say that, because like, they did, they definitely have lost before, but it's real, especially when you're playing someone you play all the time and you're and you've been doing well. The comfort you feel, you're not even, you're not second guessing anything, you're not hesitating, you don't feel fear in situations where you probably should. But then when they break free of that momentum you have, it is even harder because you were winning before. Your brain like completely short circuits when all of a sudden something that was working for you every time isn't working. And that's why it's like three wins here for them, three wins here for the other player. It is ridiculous. Like you could be playing a session and like winning for a couple hours with someone, they win that one game, it changes everything. Mostly for the person who was winning, because it's like, wait, can I rely on something that was working before? Why did they just win that? And am I just getting tired? And you just go crazy. Like, and
the doubt sinks
like
in.
The momentum and the forgetting how to lose thing is so real. And I think it's especially hard to break free of it, because a tournament set, you can't just choose when it finishes. Like, it's best of five or it's best of three. So a lot of the time the momentum stays in the person's favor that's been winning, because you don't get a chance to break free. You don't have enough time to like make them start to doubt themselves. And that's why once you do break free, that one set turns into multiple a lot of the time, because then it just reverts, right? It reverses right back onto them. It's a very interesting concept. And this whole forgetting how to lose thing is real. Like, you give Spargo enough momentum in loser's bracket the last couple tournaments, and it just, it's over. Like, it's very interesting.
Yeah, and I do really appreciate what you said, Gavin, because it wasn't just the buzz when you were on the come up. Like, that's a huge part of the story, right? Jordan and the Pistons. Yeah. But then it's also fighting off the new players who are trying to also overcome you as their gatekeeper, right? Which is a whole other side of it, because, you know, you like you said, with Zamba or whatever, you have the advantage coming into it and you're winning most of the time, but then they start winning and it's like, how do I keep
up? All of a sudden winning gets way harder than you could have ever imagined, because they, like, it could be just be a specific interaction that they just break free of that used to beat them up in all the time. And it just, everything shatters in that moment. And it's like, it's a combination of like restarting your head to head with them, but they have the advantage. The buzz beat my ass all the time. Then like I get cloud in my hands, win a few times. All of a sudden it's really hard for him. And you could like, there's a bunch of things like, you know, if like one of my first encounters with Aquila was a victory in my favor, maybe we'd be sitting here and he like would have zero or one wins on me. You know what I mean? Like, I only ever got one win on Mia. There was game fives in a lot of those losses too. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah,
and a lot of it is just because like you only have a few games to work with, and it's breaking that wall is just super hard.
It's a hard fucking game too, is what I'll say. Like, just, and you said, you know, it's not talked about enough as winning those last hits or clutching. You know, obviously it's talked about, but like you said, that skill, like viewing it as a skill, not as like a storyline.
Just the clutch label is all that's really attached to the conversation.
Right.
Like, are they clutch or not? And it doesn't really go into, you know.
It's very surface level. I agree. Yeah. But then, you know, what's funny about that is you're like, you know, talking about that and that piece of it. Whereas most people who play Smash and go on this competitive journey or do anything competitive, they don't even get to that part. You know, they have to figure out all the other shit that goes into competing before that, before you, well, yeah. Obviously you always need to learn how to close out games. That's the thing. But to make it a top level skill is a whole nother part.
Yeah.
But you need to learn fundamentals and you need to learn optimal combo routes and how to do this and how to do that and do all this other shit before you even start thinking about how you're going to close
out games. You can't get into the complicated things what your opponent's character is capable of. If you can't control your own character, then like you got to learn how to, you know, walk or swim or whatever first, like before you could even begin to like theorize anything. And I feel that a lot with my other hobbies, because I don't have a single hobby in life that I'm comfortable like comparing to Smash. Like nothing is like that. So like when I'm playing Yu-Gi-Oh, it's like I like try to study like psychological stuff, and then it'll be like, why am I doing this? I don't even know what my opponent's cards do. Or I'm not even fully comfortable of piloting my own deck. So, like, why am I trying to, like, bring my Smash skills into this? Because I just can't yet. I just can't do it. I want to really bad because I think it would be fun and I think it would give me an advantage. But, like, if I'm fighting Spargo's Piranha Plant and I don't even know what his up tilt looks like, why am I trying to go past that? It's, like, it's just not easy, though, because, like, there's only so much time in a day and everyone wants to improve and learning basics isn't fun. It's not.
Everyone wants to win too. Like that's the beauty of competition and how it relates to the human experience, I think. And yeah, it's like, you can't hop in a Ferrari and try to drive 140 miles an hour when you get your learner's permit. You know what I mean? You gotta,
it would be,
you
know, cool. What I
mean? You gotta take it down. You know, you gotta,
everyone wishes it was a movie, right? Like you're just naturally, you pick up the GameCube controller and it just, galaxy explosion, like
the meme. Yeah,
it used to, you know, and it used to be more like that when things were less competitive, because people who were more naturally competitive or inclined,
it shined brighter. I think
the field was lower, and so like the barrier of entry and like how to get good was easier. But now, fuck man, it's hard. I don't even know how many people are registered for Supernova, but holy shit, to try to win that tournament. And then you look at it, to bring it full circle here, to you think about just winning that tournament alone, what the fuck? Like, that's going to be so incredibly difficult and challenging. And Spargo might do it with Plant. Like, that's where we're at. Like, that's a legitimate talking point. That's no bullshit. Like, he actually might. And if not as his main character, as a character he actually uses for a couple of players, which is just ridiculous. And just,
curveball pick. Do you know how to deal with Patui?
Period. They're going to start looking at it now, is what I got to say. Like, a theory I had is that he didn't want to go Roy against Sonics because he wanted to save that for SmashCon or something, and he was just going Plant because he wanted to have fun. But I don't even know if he was thinking that deep about it. I think he just wanted
winning to play makes it complicated in a weird way for him.
Yes, like, it reminded me of you. Honestly.
Arguably, it could be better for him going into a different tournament if he just lost. It makes things complicated now that you won with another option.
As far as like, oh shit, I didn't think I was.
I've had a lot of experience with that, and I think Leo has had a lot of experience with that over the years, where like. Like so many general, like Twitch chat or the public will complain about, if they want Leo to win, they'll be like, why did he go this character? He won last time with this character. And it's like, it gets really complicated and like weird in your own brain if you won with multiple options. Like it gets so weird.
It's not as black and white as every Twitch chatter thinks.
Like
a lot of arms.
And they probably understand that too. I understand the logic of like, you won with this last time, like what is going on? But like, it's just so weird when like, I don't know, maybe you warmed up against the character and like something was working here, something wasn't working here. Like if you've beaten one specific person with multiple characters, the character select screen becomes like such a weird battle because of the success. It's so strange. But yeah, I've actually been playing Smash the last few days myself, and I wasn't sure I was going to go, but it's like, damn, I've really put in so much time to this game. Like, I didn't
like riding a bike.
I wasn't messing up any of the tech. I was like doing new ideas that I just thought of on the spot. And I'm like, damn it. Like, it's weird. Like, I almost, like, in a way, I, like, almost wish, like, it wasn't as easy to pick back up as it was. Because, like, it just makes me so angry at all of my other hobbies. Like, damn, I suck at everything else. Like, I just, I really do.
You, and especially as you get older, Gab, you realize, like, what it actually takes to get to that level of comfort with something is fucking insane.
Yeah.
So you just end up sticking to the things you know.
Yes.
And it's...
Branching out is not easy.
Bro,
and it's all about time and effort. Every, like, mostly time.
Every new fighting game that comes out, oh, I'm going to fucking play the shit out of this. Street Fighter 6, Ken's good.
Boot up Unite 10 minutes later.
Don't check my Steam chart, or my Steam stats on fucking Street Fighter 6, because it's not very high, because it's really, really hard and really difficult to do that. And then it becomes, and I feel like this is more a thing now than it was ever, than it ever was. It's always been a thing. But then you see people like, you know, pro, like Mena and, you know, all those guys, you know, Tokido, whatever, who are just gods at Street Fighter, and on day one they're doing the craziest combo routes and all this stuff. You're like, I'm never gonna be able to do that shit. This sucks. How many? Nope, I'm done. Like, it just is just way too much. And you go back to what, that's why Charles and I are playing WoW again.
Sometimes it's really nice and adorable to be like kind of casual at something, though. Like, every experience is a bit more pure and wholesome to you.
That I actually,
I agree
a
lot.
It's like a side topic, but I feel like competition comes at a cost. Because I feel like with Smash particularly, I don't have that childlike wonder with that game anymore.
Yeah.
And it's because I just feel like the deeper you dive into competition, it, like, it gets so serious that you can't have your cake and eat it too. Like, or at least that's how I feel. Maybe that's just how I am. Maybe there are people that are so infatuated with Smash
There's
and they still have that childlike wonder. Right. But I mean, that is probably, I'm also like much older as well. So it's probably a combination of factors, but I feel like that's kind of like the push and pull of when you get into a game too deep and too competitive, is you're not going to have that childlike wonder of, like, for me at least, like, booting up 64 Smash Bros for the first time and playing with all my friends and it's four players and it's like, holy crap, this is so much fun, and you're throwing the items around and stuff like that. It's like,
I haven't done that in like 5+ years, if not way more than that.
I haven't done.
I have a great idea for.
I don't know if I've ever done it.
When we come through, Gavin, I have a great idea for our stream. Hell no, yeah!
I can't.
It's not fun.
I can't do it.
Items.
Yep. It's not fun.
We're playing Mario Kart, please.
No, we're not playing Mario. Well, maybe.
I'm not even the biggest fan of.
We gotta go. I love what you said too, Charles, because it's like learning the Matrix is real, right? Like, you can't go back after a certain point. And when you first start learning things, it is fun to learn things like that. And then you get better at it and that's satisfying, but then you hit a plateau and kind of, you have, like, at this point, the opposite of childlike wonder with Smash. It's like adult frustration with Smash. Why the fuck does it work this way? Or what?
How can
that?
Steven do this? Steven, stop!
Don't bring up Steve's block. Don't bring it up. but yeah, I agree though. But that's just like, fuck. It sounds so lame, and we're so old. But that's fucking reality hitting sometimes too. It's like, you know, do you really want to play? And fuck this again.
You have to learn to like your adult view of the game. You have to learn to love it. It's the only option, because, like, totally, we're saying, we can't go back. You can act like you can. Theoretically, you can't. You can be like, you can act like losing is the greatest thing ever. Everything is a beautiful experience. Blah, blah. Like, I'm sorry. But I hate that idea of a person more than I hate the person raging that they lost. Because, like, you're just so cringe because you're just wrong and it's not real.
Go ahead.
Sorry. In the next Smash already, I'm not playing. I those items are off. I don't know they exist. I'm doing some shit that shouldn't exist in the game, but I found it anyway. Like it's just...
Which is fun too. That's a
my fun for the next game is already ruined, but thankfully, like, through hard work and dedication, I've learned to love that about it. Like,
well, you're falling in love with the process of improving, which is, I think that's like, when you go more towards competition, that's
it's
the
just
viewpoint
like Call of Duty when I was a teenager. Like, I've never played the single player. I don't know anything.
Yeah,
and I love the multiplayer as much as everyone else, but I did a specific thing. I did trick shotting as my specific niche, that when, like, new games were revealed, I was looking at that. Like, it's like the 1% competitive thing we were just talking about. I am like a niche within a niche within a niche. Like, And like, I just like that. And like, I don't like campaign or single player. Like,
dude, I don't please give a fuck play about the campaign in Call of Duty. World of Light you have to. You're obligated to.
My brain has zero reaction to the existence of World of Light. I don't give a fuck. But
I like it.
I love Smash more than you, like the casual person. Like, even though I like 1% of it, even though it's like a specific part of it, I love it way more than they love it in its like entirety.
That might not be true. Like, the older I get,
no, it is.
No, listen.
I will put this on my fucking tombstone.
Like, there's something.
I love Smash more.
That's why.
Okay, time out.
That's why the video game thread was so important, though. Was like it was like rekindling something that was missing. So now, like, I genuinely like the characters for what they are in their games, and like I've played so much. I have so much more experience and shit, but like. In terms of Smash casually, I have not rekindled that, and I don't think it's possible.
Bro, it's insane because you're looking at an emotion as a competitive thing. You're like, I love this more than somebody else.
I get what you're saying,
but you gotta, like, it kind of goes the opposite. It goes back to what Charles was saying, where someone who doesn't know and has no idea and thinks that they played against 8 of their friends and one with a hammer that fell... They fucking love Smash, bro. They might even like, they fucking love that shit. Are they completely ignorant to what's happening and all that shit? Yeah. Doesn't really matter.
It's kind of awesome though.
You love Yu-Gi-Oh, right? You love Yu-Gi-Oh. Doesn't mean you don't love Yu-Gi-Oh. They're better players than you. Do they love it more than you? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they know the game so well.
Part of loving it, man. If anything, it's more valuable. Like,
what is?
Love is not like a pure thing. It's just not like it. Like, loving what you do is like, it's equally important to fucking hate what you do.
I'd say that they have gotten significantly less upset with Smash than you have as well.
Yeah,
but you're saying that's related. It's like a passion.
I'm saying it's important. It's part of it. Like,
I think you saying you're more passionate is a bit agreed, more accurate.
Yeah. Well,
I'm saying that love, you need to consider the whole package. Like,
There's some dude out there who has no idea that the competitive scene really exists. He is convinced he's the best player in the world with Little Mac at, you know, with items on, and he fucking loves this shit. To this day, he plays every day, and he fucking loves it. He's never experienced the super high.
But there's no way he plays every day, though.
See,
you don't know.
CPUs every day?
Hey, huh? You don't know.
Yeah, he might fight the CPUs, bro. He might love that shit. He might play World of Light, you know? And I think it's funny because we keep bringing it back to things.
That dude's playing Mario Kart on his Switch too right now. I'm sorry.
Bro's playing some mobile game. That's
Gavin's
sure.
Like, this dude doesn't exist.
He doesn't play every day.
But Charles, like, it's a really good point to like the Pokemon thing where it's like a lot of people. So if someone doesn't play, you love Pokemon, you don't play competitively. So do you not love it as much as someone who competes?
Yes, I would argue that.
You would say that? I don't know. Competition is just one part of it, man.
And you love a lot of things, Gavin.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it depends on like.
Time is also important. I think
this is too black and white for me.
I guess it depends on what level of competition, though. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Would he ever say that he loves Pokemon more than Wolfie? Absolutely not.
No, I wouldn't. I would not.
That's just unreasonable.
It's not fair. Like,
I feel like that's unreasonable.
Blood, sweat, and tears do equate to love.
Yeah, but what about someone who has, you know, like an Eeveelution tattoo and like their whole every day they wake up and think about Sylveon or whatever? Like that. What I'm saying is, it's not so black and white, bro. They're just weird. Also, not sure why that popped up in my mind. That does not exist anywhere in my life. I'm just going to point that out. But I'm just saying that there's layers to it. I think getting involved in a community and committing real time and effort and emotion to something says something. But I'm saying that can be shown in a million ways. It's not so black and white, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know.
I agree with everything you say.
Yeah,
but
kinda.
I still think I love it more than them.
Probably.
I think it's hard to quantify an emotion as general as love.
That is true.
Thank you, Charles.
I think
that's
what
I'm getting
at. But you can't tell me there's some casual
because they don't equate certain things to love, and I am.
You can't tell me there's a casual basketball player that loves basketball more than like LeBron or
no, they don't.
Jordan or something like that.
I don't know. Maybe LeBron might.
No, that is disrespectful.
Eh. Is it?
I will say I don't think it's as easy as like, oh,
there's
the
layers
amount of time
to
you
there, there's definitely
there's layers.
The amount of
that,
love.
That makes my argument technically even better because there's layers.
Watch this. Chat, if you love Smash more than Gavin, enter a comment. I guarantee you they love that shit way more than you, bro.
And let us know how much time you have spent on the game, and if it's more than him for Ultimate, then you love him.
Do you listen to Smash Podcast, Gavin? No.
No.
Oh, well, I do, so I like it. I love it more than you. I'm just more into it.
How many hours of podcast have you listened to? That's a lot of hours.
I almost don't want to say this. I am so in tune with the game. It plays in my head perfectly.
Is that love or obsession? Now we're getting into
it's both. A whole different...
Okay, well, yeah,
exactly.
Obsession is love, even if it's unhealthy. It's still love.
You never watched a single episode of You. Oh,
goodness
gracious. Oh, You. I can play Smash in tournament in my head in the shower.
Yeah, but... you didn't have to tell us the location, man.
Yeah. That dude, I'm telling you, that frat guy who plays Little Mac, you think he's not playing Smash in his head?
In love. In my sleep before the game was out.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying. Like, it's not a contest. Like an emotion. Okay.
You might even beat me in tournament without loving it more than me. But I still love it more than you. And the thing is, that's like just as valuable, I fucking hate it more than you.
I was going to say.
I also hate it more than you.
That was a good
one. That's part of it. That is part of the
I like what you said. And I think what you're confusing is passion for love.
No, it's still similar.
It's similar, not the same.
I think
it's the same.
And there's no way to quantify it, you know what I mean? Like, that's the problem.
The only way to quantify it is amount of time passion spent. Thinking, playing it, or whatever.
I'd argue that's not true, because it could be quality over quantity, too. Like, what means more, you know? Like, what, I don't know. Like, what are we trying to weigh here? Like, you know what I mean?
You weigh everything.
I guess.
Everything, all at once.
Yeah.
I'm saying this guy, this frappo, he's got you beat, bro. He loves Smash. He loves Smash. He got the little Mac haircut.
Got you, bro.
You've never cosplayed Smash. You don't. You must not love it that much.
Oh, true. Where's the commitment?
You know what? On the flip side, Joker don't even like basketball.
True. That's what I'm saying. He does not love basketball.
He does. He does.
No, he doesn't. Oh. Not as much as he loves all that
game
stuff.
Winner versus Golden State.
Not as much as he loves. He loves winning. That's different. He loves horses more than he loves basketball.
What is he winning at?
Everything he rules,
money.
Yeah,
he's winning at life. Honestly,
he's the goat. Yeah,
he fucking loves basketball. Have you seen him on the bench holding the clipboard with his teammates?
Sure, he is.
Bro, fucking loves basketball.
He's into that shit.
I love the persona, like the "I don't gaff" thing. Like, it's awesome. I think it's important to winning. I think it's important to do that for certain people.
I think he's just
including myself sometimes.
No.
I like this conversation. I'm sorry.
This is fun. I don't think we've ever talked about love on the podcast, but here we are.
Love and hate are the same.
Love and hate are they're not. They're actually opposites. I would say to that.
Well, one only exists because the other.
The thing
exists.
You say is that they're two halves.
They
of the can same
be.
Coin.
They can also be the same. They
you
can
say
be.
They're two halves of the same coin is the way better way to say that.
It's like winning and losing.
Winning and but you losing love winning and you hate losing.
Yeah. But why do I hate losing?
Because it sucks.
Because you're not winning.
Because I love winning.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
The hate is like it's right there with the love, bro.
I know some of our viewers love Smash more than you. I just know it, bro. I know.
I wasn't talking about our viewers. I was talking about the frat, bro.
Oh, that guy definitely loves Smash more than you. He's got the. How many Smash posters do you have?
Huh?
How many Smash posters do you have? Oh, it's Donkey Kong and it counts as Smash. Like, this is Super Smash Brothers, poster. Yeah, zero. Yep, zero. There's that. Don't look at B stuff. That doesn't count. Not for you.
I hate that you know that.
Yep. You do.
Those are Smash stages, but I didn't get those.
Nope, that's B. Nope. She's a big, she might love Smash more
it's
than
It's in
you.
My part. It's part of our life.
Ooh.
Yes, it is a part of your life. I think that's important.
But she also fucking hates it. So,
of course,
she hates it.
Well, yeah, that's understandable.
Have you heard her talk about some of the characters she hates,
dude? She's a grade A hater when it comes.
She hates Terry so much.
Oh, Terry's a funny one.
She hates Terry. Wait, who else does she hate?
Agreed.
She loves Fox, which is so unfortunate.
That is. Agreed.
What character does she hate?
I hate DDD. You know that, though. I'd be hating.
B and I love DDD.
I know. It sucks.
Yeah, I can't remember what characters.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
Oh, she hates Sora. Sora, oh my god.
What's going on there?
I think
he hates that guy.
He's a gym. We've talked about this a million times. I'm not sorry.
In Smash, he's a gym. Absolutely.
Not in Smash. In his game, more than Smash, he's a gym. He's taken from his game. So if he's a gym in Smash, he's a gym everywhere else.
Yeah.
True.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
Sonic is coolest.
That is cool. A very interesting opinion.
Sonic is cool.
I liked Sonic before
in the Smash 90s. Movie. Yeah, like what
was cool. Current.
Yeah.
Okay. Like what?
Not me. Donkey Sorry, Kong. Man. You're not gonna get me with that.
Know what I've been worried about?
This is a conversation for Koopa.
Is it gonna be lame to like Donkey Kong in a few years? Because he's gonna have like 10 games.
Are you trying to hipster back out of Donkey Kong now?
I start hating it.
That's funny.
You will eventually.
I love Mario.
What does it matter? Because hate is love. Yeah. Who cares? It's the same thing.
True. I do.
Gavin's the biggest hipster.
I hate DK and Smash sometimes.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
God.
Yep. I don't even know what the fuck we're talking about anymore.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was fantastic, low key.
That's fun. Thanks.
Shouts to Pranaplay and Spargo for getting the brain flowing, the creative juices. Congrats to him. I saw that up smash, spot dodge, down smash. That was good. Have a good one. Thank you.
Maybe you do love smash. Dang.